Hey friends, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs, the housing market is on fire, interest rates are at zero, and this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Malice aforethought is the conscious intent to cause death or great bodily harm to another person before a person commits the crime. Such malice is a required element to prove first-degree murder.
And malice aforethought, by the way, also translates into genocide. We're not talking about homicide. This is genocide. They are taking out an entire population, maybe as much as half of the planet.
Hey, friends. That was Dr. Lee Vliet and Attorney Todd Callender. I hope you'll join us as we blow giant holes through corporate and government propaganda. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Crypto is a very fast way to build wealth. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created MyDigitalMoney.com. It's the cryptocurrency platform that offers the best US-based phone support service. With MyDigitalMoney.com, you'll get a real live human being to answer your call. Don't understand how crypto IRAs work? You need help on how to sell your cryptos? Are you worried about the controversy over a crypto you already invested in? Call MyDigitalMoney.com. And here's a special treat. If you're unsure whether crypto investing is for you, open a Play Money account with MyDigitalMoney.com and try trading without any risk. So go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now and start building your wealth. Hey, friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. It's absolutely fantastic to have you all back, my friends of truth. Friends all around the world are tuning in to the real news media to avoid the Mockingbird mainstream media lies. Welcome back to SGT Report. This is Sean, and I'm very, very glad to welcome back to the show my friend and attorney, Todd Callender. Todd, how are you?
I'm great. I'm always happy to be with you, Sean.
Well, I'm always glad to have you. Thanks for arranging this interview with Dr. Lee Vliet, a physician and president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. That's God's biblical truth, friends, and medical truth. Dr. Vliet, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. Thank you for standing on the side of truth and for standing on the side of humanity. Many doctors have chosen to do otherwise, so we very much appreciate you. Todd, let me just ask you this. I'd be remiss not to point this out. So Dr. Lee Vliet is really one of the doctors that are helping fund so many of the great things you're doing on behalf of truth through truthforhealth.org, the public charity. Do you want to help flush that out just real quick? Because I want people to know who they're hearing in this conversation and how important she is to truth for all of us.
Yeah. So a lot of different ways. First and foremost, I really came to work with Truth for Health Foundation doing IC rescues, breaking people out of these hospital death camps. And the relationship grew to the point where she was then turning, Dr. Vliet, that is, was turning donations into public policy litigation. So she's funded myself and a lot of other lawyers to sue on really important issues, defending military, trying to stop things from happening here or there. She is the engine behind all these lawsuits.
And Sean, to add to that, a public charity has a duty to serve the public good and safety. And the IRS code allows legal defense grants by a public charity to defend, quote, human and civil rights secured by law, end quote. That's the IRS code, and that is what we're doing. our legal defense grant process complies with the IRS regulations, and we are awarding legal defense grants for people who are defending their human and civil rights guaranteed under the Constitution. And Todd's firm, Disabled Rights Advocates, is a firm that was set up to do just that. Many of their lawyers work pro bono, just as our doctors and scientists do. I'm not paid from public money by the foundation. My support comes from my independent work in my medical practice. So our public donations are used to serve the public, not pay people high salaries to sit around and pontificate.
Well, I love that. And thank you for that. Friends, I just wanted you all to know that information. So instead of donating to the Red Cross, where maybe 90% of it is kept internal and 10% goes out to the public, this is a real way to help in this fight, the fight that we're about to discuss in this conversation, truthforhealth.org, if you'd like to donate and help. Thank you all for listening to that. All right. So let me ask you guys this. Malice aforethought. I sent you guys that in an email. I included it in a recent video referring to Dr. Fauci and so many others. I sent it to you, Dr. Vliet. Would you like to read it? What is malice aforethought? I think it's very fitting for what we face.
I think it is absolutely fitting, Sean, and I will list some of the medical reasons that I think this is correct. Malice aforethought is the conscious intent to cause death or great bodily harm to another person before a person commits the crime. Such malice is a required element to prove first-degree murder. Malice aforethought, in a broader definition, also is a general evil and depraved state of mind in which the person is unconcerned for the lives of others. And Sean, that is the definition of evil. Evil is the word live spelled backwards. And when we consider evil, the intent to harm someone else unconcerned about that person's life, that is evil, the destruction of the spirit of life in another person. And that is exactly what we have seen borne out through the entire pandemic. Government officials, state governors, state medical boards, state pharmacy boards, hospital administrators, group practice administrators have all made a conscious decision to deny early, safe, effective treatment to COVID patients, have denied and knowingly denied existing patient rights in hospitals. They have denied physicians' rights to identify what's best for a patient and prescribe for a patient. They have knowingly withheld medications that could be effective and safe that have been used worldwide for decades without harm. And they have forced the public into harmful treatments. And we'll talk more about that. But this whole pattern of behavior that we have seen by our elected officials, our bureaucrats, our medical professionals, I am ashamed of my profession. When I have colleagues that I know personally that I've worked with for years who are hiding in the corner saying, well, my administrator says I can't treat COVID patients. That is absolutely outrageous. I have no respect for them. And I think patients should find other doctors who will advocate for them. So all the way across the board, this definition exactly describes what we've been seeing.
Todd, I'm sure you have a response to that as an attorney, but let me lead with this news item dated January 14th. Maryland National Guard to distribute remdesivir to nursing home residents. Now, I'm coming back to you guys. Please, can somebody tell me, how is this possible when any thinking person at this point should know that remdesivir is extremely dangerous, toxic, it shuts down the kidneys, it does not help these people. It's only able to be used, I believe, under experimental authorization use. It's dangerous, and I think Fauci's behind this. Can anybody explain to me how this is not malice aforethought to roll remdesivir out via the National Guard to nursing home residents?
Well, forethought is also another word for plan. It's very clear to me that this has all been planned a very long time. And remdesivir, they pulled it out of the clinical trials after 54% of the test patients died. And yet, now the FDA intends to make this approved. And not only that, but distributed by the National Guard. Every day we are seeing another phase of the plan being rolled out. This plan has been in existence for a very long time.
Well, and Sean, to add to that medically, and going back to Fauci, whom you mentioned at the beginning, clearly it's malice aforethought when he knew with the Ebola trials several years ago, exactly the data that Todd just mentioned, 54% mortality rate in the Ebola trials. Now, that was not the illness of Ebola that was causing that. There were four drugs in that clinical trial. And of the four drugs, remdesivir was the only one with a greater than 50% death rate. So the same illness was occurring. The other three drugs were treating Ebola, but they did not have that degree of mortality. So when we fast forward to May 2020, and Fauci announces on the basis of practically zero data, very minimal data, with remdesivir for COVID, that this is going to be the gold standard, he already knew it had a 54% mortality rate against Ebola and had to be removed from the clinical trials. So he knew that damage was there. He knew the kidney failure problems, and he knew the fact that it could also cause pulmonary collapse, which is what the problem was in the first place with COVID. Clearly, this was a decision that was made with knowledge of harm to patients. It's unconscionable. I wrote an editorial about it in 2020 about the dangers of doing it and the financial conflicts at NIH with ties, financial ties to Gilead, the manufacturer of remdesivir. We disclosed, and many others did as well, in 2020. Of the people on the committee in the NIH and FDA that were making these decisions about what to recommend, the majority of them had financial consultantships or paid research grants from Gilead. That is malice aforethought.
Yes, I believe it is. Let's just back up and not bury the lead here. I want to make sure I understand this. Remdesivir was such a profound failure in the Ebola trials that it was pulled. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Dr. Fauci knew that information, and yet Dr. Fauci is trumpeting remdesivir in the treatment for COVID-19 amongst elderly people in nursing homes, and it's the protocol in these hospitals for anybody who, God forbids, finds themselves in one of these hospital hellholes where the doctor is going to follow the official protocols. Remdesivir is one of the leading treatments, correct?
Is the only treatment that the hospitals have been using. That's the staggering part of it. Ivermectin is also on the NIH list, and they refuse to use it. You know about the bonus payment for using remdesivir. Maybe we better let your audience know about that. The federal government, under the CMS payments to hospitals, is paying a 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill if the hospital uses remdesivir and does not use ivermectin or other medicines.
Yes, and the bonus payments are out of control. Listen to this, a clip posted to my friend Firemedic 8's BitChute channel.
The CARES Act is providing bonus payments to hospitals whenever you have a diagnosis of COVID. And then number two, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patient rights. This is a deadly combination. So here's what happens. You get a payment because you offer a free COVID test in the emergency room. You get a boost payment if you have a diagnosis of COVID. Number three, you get another bonus payment if you are admitted with COVID. Number four, you get another bonus payment if you're put on remdesivir. Number five, another bonus payment if you're put on a mechanical ventilator. Number six, another 20% bonus if the diagnosis on your death certificate says COVID, even though you may not have died from COVID. And then number seven, there's bonus payments to coroners. Do you understand the gravity of what's happening right now? The Biden administration is literally paying hospitals to kill you.
You know, I cover this stuff every day as a alternative news media journalist, a truth journalist, and it's very troubling. I still find no end to the times I feel shocked by this information. Now, as all of this is playing out in real time, friends, here's The Sun warning its readers of a hidden risk that as many as 300,000 Brits are living with a stealth disease that could kill them within 5 years. Now, I'm not actually a detective, you guys, but it seems to me that the mainstream media is trying to get out in front of the side effects from the vax, which are actually the effects, myocarditis, pericarditis, and now The Sun is warning people, well, there's just some magic illness that might kill you within 5 years. Never mind that it might be the vaccine.
It won't take that long. It won't take up to 5 years. One of the other things that Dr. Fauci helped with was his studies of HIV and AIDS. It so happens that these shots utilize, I think you know this, part of the HIV protein to disable people's natural immunity. So there, again, there's a plan, right? And malice aforethought, by the way, also translates into genocide. We're not talking about homicide. This is genocide. They are taking out an entire population, maybe as much as half of the planet with this.
Well, the reason that the article is referring to it as a stealth disease, myocarditis and pericarditis are inflammation of the heart. Myocarditis inflames the heart muscle so that it doesn't pump as well, it doesn't function as well. And pericarditis inflames the sac around the heart. When that is happening and it is slowly progressive, it robs the person of their heart function in subtle ways that they may not pick up initially. The initial symptom is simply fatigue. And you get more tired, walking out to the front to take your trash out. Maybe that never bothered you and suddenly you're just feeling a little more tired, a little more short of breath. Those are the early warnings that there are changes in heart function. Now, in my practice, I check some of the markers on blood tests that can show that, a D-dimer, troponin, other inflammatory markers. Most primary care doctors, in fact, I have a routine fight with most of the primary care doctors of my own patients, where their doctors say, well, you don't need a D-dimer, you don't need this. And I said, yes, you do. You've had the vaccine. These are inflammatory markers. These are known complications. If you want to know whether you're having any damage early when we can treat it, then we need to do these markers. So some patients don't want to know that. And they said, I'm firing you, Dr. Fleet. I'm going to listen to my primary care doctor. Okay, they're going to be living with these complications until suddenly they die of a heart attack. Or we can monitor them early, identify what's happening, and get treatment implemented and try and prevent some of the damage.
Well, it's a battle. So many families who have loved ones in the hospitals are having a very difficult time getting those healthy protocols in place. The doctors refuse to prescribe ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. Now, part of the bigger problem here is the tyranny we see rolling out in various states in the United States. We see National Guard troops in hospitals and quarantine camps being set up in Arizona, the great state of Arizona, which is where Dr. Lee Vliet hails from. Now, Todd, some of these quarantine camps that are being set up in Arizona already exist in other states, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Washington State, New York, Alabama, that I'm aware of, probably others as well. All of this
wasn't there Alaska as well, Todd?
They're working on Alaska. I don't think they've been implemented yet. But it's all governed. It goes back to this HHS document, Code of Federal Regulations 42 CFR Part 70, It's all there. It's all authorized. That was 2016, and now they're simply implementing it through intergovernmental agreements.
And that's what has come out locally here in Arizona, Sean. One of the Cochise County Board of Supervisors, Tom Crosby, uncovered the interagency agreements that the county, Cochise County, which is down near the border, and also a conservative county, they signed these government agreements to get federal money under the COVID CARES Act, which then essentially the county turns over control of the public health response to the federal government, which is what's been the problem with the hospitals and the early outpatient treatment getting blocked. So multiple counties in Arizona have signed these interagency agreements that are putting control of their county in the hands of the federal government, and the public doesn't know it. Mr. Crosby has made an effort to get the attention of some of Arizona's legislators who have ignored it. And so this information was brought to our foundation, and we are working with Mr. Crosby in Cochise County and others around the state and our military advisory council to get this information out to the public, because members of our advisory council for the foundation who are in the military have seen the physical quarantine camps that are being set up. And Todd has already laid out the legal framework for this, and I'll ask him to address it. But that began in 2005 with agreements signed by multiple countries, and he'll explain that. So the legal framework is already in place, as he said, and they are beginning to implement this now, tied into Governor Ducey's executive orders that also have been hidden from the public in terms of the powers that the governor has incorrectly delegated to public health agencies to control people's lives, their movements, and whether or not they will be getting a compulsory vaccination. It's quite alarming, and we have got to help wake people up to the fact that this is happening right here in the United States of America, and it's very much equivalent to the Australia plan of what's been happening there.
Todd, feel free to run with that. Let me just show you guys this. I think it's very telling. Of course, nobody can trust Google for information. If you type in the phrase COVID quarantine camps in Arizona into Google, these are the results. The third result is a fact-checking claim about quarantine camps. So they're already trying to debunk. Now, if you do the same search using Bing, the first result is isolation quarantine facilities, King County. Todd, just like the vax being safe and effective, we're going to hear the same thing from the mainstream media. There are no quarantine camps, but if there are, they're safe and they're for the safety of the general public.
Yeah, safety is the Trojan horse. All of the legal framework, as Dr. Vliet indicated, arises from a public health perspective. It's always we have to protect the greater good by isolating these individuals or by treating them. If you go back to the piece of law that I had referenced, 42 CFR, in this case, 70.14, it talks about what is the legal basis for them to pull people out and put them into these quarantine camps. And effectively, it's discretionary. They try to get people to go along with it. They come off the airplane. Are you sick? And if the person refuses to cooperate, they've reserved to themselves the ability for the public good to pull these people aside and quarantine them, inspect them and quarantine them. All of this is already in law. We're just seeing the actual implementation of it through the Trojan horse of public health.
Dr. Vliet, let me ask you a question, and then I want to show you guys something. Is Omicron more deadly or dangerous than COVID-19? Should we be very afraid of these variants?
Omicron is a milder respiratory virus. In fact, those who have analyzed the genetic sequence of Omicron compared to the original Wuhan sequence that came out in February 2020, have shown that it has so many differences that it may not even be in the same category. It is more similar to the coronaviruses that have always caused the common cold. So Omicron is a mild illness, and the problem with Omicron is that people are panicked about it, and they are not also preparing to do the simple things that could get them through it. If you think of it as not any worse than a bad cold, you would normally be taking zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C and drinking lots of fluids, N-acetylcysteine, quercetin. These supplements over the counter are things we use for viral illnesses all the time. People can do that. There are also prescription medicines, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, doxycycline, clarithromycin, clindamycin. And there are anti-inflammatories, budesonide as a nebulizer, oral corticosteroids, blood clot prevention like aspirin, for example. All of these things can be brought to bear in the first 3 days of symptoms, and people can get through it, stay out of the hospital, and they don't risk death. I treat high-risk patients. We use that algorithm and that combination. And I've been very fortunate that I get my patients treated early. No one's gone in the hospital. No one's died in the last 2 years. So it's possible to do even with high-risk patients. I've got some diabetics and asthmatics that were really sick, but with the proper medication, quickly we keep them out of the hospital. And people are not getting prepared to do that. People cannot wait until you're 10 days into this illness and expect to get rapid, easy treatment. That's when they start having trouble breathing and go to the hospital, and then they get put on the toxic, basically a death protocol of remdesivir, ventilators, and the death rate goes through the roof.
Right. Well, the reason I asked about Omicron is really, it was a rhetorical question to the extent that my audience is well aware of what's happening here. So get this from CBS Local in Baltimore. Remdesivir is a therapeutic treatment that has been proven to be effective against the Omicron variant, which has proven to be 4 to 5 times more transmissible than other COVID-19 variants. So these whores in the media, and that's what they are, mainstream, mockingbird, CIA whores, they'll continue to parrot such lies. Now, if we click on this isolation quarantine facilities for King County, listen to what they say. January 4th, 2022, as the highly infectious Omicron variant spreads at a rapid rate across the state and cases in King County tripled from the highest peak seen previously in the pandemic, we expect a continued upward trend in January. And then they talk about isolation and quarantine. This is very, very real. And the reason we're having this conversation, Todd, is we need to figure out how to stop this before we turn into Australia.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the question is, are we too far gone? And going back to prior conversations that we've had, the only way to stop this is the enforcement. All of the legal stuff is there. All of the people in power have already been corrupted. It comes to the civil disobedience and getting hold of the people who would be tasked with enforcing this and stopping it. Lawsuits we're filing, and they have some effect, but they take a long time. It's really family members talking to the people who are on the ground doing these things, pulling them aside and punishing them in a way that they'll be ostracized or lose the benefit of the relationship. Whatever that case is, it's going to be the execution that we have to stop.
Todd is right. And actually, that statement that you just read is quite alarming, because they are distorting what normally happens in cold and flu season and ginning up the fear to drive people into more panic, which has been the technique of totalitarian regimes throughout history. Control people through fear and intimidation. And that's exactly what they're doing in the way that was just described. We always see more colds and flu at this time of year, for heaven's sakes. And people who are sick just stay home. And people who aren't sick go about their business. Wash your hands. Do the nasal sprays with dilute betadine solution like we have on our website. And stay healthy. And if you get sick, exactly, Stay home.
Well, and the other part, Doc, is, you know, the civil disobedience. Look at what's happening in Canada right now. I've heard reports of up to 1.4 million people showing up in Ottawa to tell their government, no, we're not doing this. And that kind of a demonstration is really important because it's infectious. It's contagious. People gather strength from seeing others doing these kinds of things. And it's really what's needed. Otherwise, we're going to end up like Australia. I don't know what the Tinder you know, catches fire to. The spark in Canada somehow happened. I don't know what it was to motivate all those people. Why are we not seeing that same spark in the United States? I don't understand that.
We may be seeing it, Todd, in pockets across the country. The problem is that there's so much censorship in the media that people don't know that others in other communities are resisting. They don't know about the march in Washington. They don't know about the programs like this that are trying to share information to empower you to take local action.
This is a perfect time for a break, friends, and a quick message from our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs. The housing market is on fire. Interest rates are at zero. And this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com. I think there's a lot of truth in that. The mainstream media would never, ever cut us a break as it pertains to this last election. If we say there was a big steal, they call that a big lie. So even the most obvious crimes are covered up and obfuscated by this criminal corporate media. That's why SGTReport.com has the moniker, the antidote to corporate propaganda. I launched that site and came up with that little phrase more than a decade ago. And now people are beginning to understand what I meant. The corporate horror media, the Mockingbird mainstream CIA media, most of the information people in this country digest comes from six major corporations that own all of the news organizations. So if you want the truth, you have to think outside the box like Joe Rogan did and like Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers did. And then you get hanged in the court of public opinion by these same mainstream horror media mercenaries. But guess what? People aren't buying it. People are finally starting to wake up. The mainstream horror media has a lower approval rating right now, I believe, than Congress. Certainly lower than Joe Biden, which is what? They say 33% approval rating. I guess it's probably closer to 22%, if that. So you guys weigh in on that if you like. I want to do another screen share here.
Todd, well, I think you're right, Sean.
Well, people are waking up, and if they're not waking up fast enough, it's because the horror media covers up the truth. Now, Todd sent me this Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. Now, if we recall that article from The Sun, we're supposed to believe it's just a stealth disease that's going to cause this spike in deaths. So never mind the acute myocarditis, which is spiked. Look at the red line, 2021. Look at all of the previous years. How about pericarditis? Nothing to see here. How about pregnancy with abortive outcome? Boy, I don't know.
And that does not mean an abortion by choice. That is actually would correctly be described as a miscarriage.
Now, doctor, I am not a doctor. Do you see something here? Like, do your colleagues not see something here? Again, I'm not a detective, but I'm just trying to put two and two together.
Well, it's obvious that in the year of the vaccine rollouts with the inflammatory damage due to the spike protein and nanoparticles, which we know have known for at least 15 to 20 years, is damaging to the human body, all of these spikes are occurring in the year that the vaccines rolled out, not the year that COVID pandemic occurred. So there, one of the principles of science when you're looking at connections and correlations is if something changed and suddenly there's an increase in death and disability and complications, my medicine professor told me in the first year of medical school, we have to look at what was the change we made just prior to that change in outcome. It is common sense.
You know, I was going to say, Sean, when you're looking at that, it doesn't do justice to the real numbers. That database, when our various experts have gone through it, shows an all-cause mortality and morbidity rate of 1,100% over 2020. Imagine with the onset of the ADE response that people are going to have or are having, what the true mortality rate is going to be now or is now. I hear stories of freezer trucks, tractor trailers full of bodies. And yet, you want to talk about the media, you know, hiding the truth. There is no greater example. At some point, everybody's going to know a family member that has died from the vaccine. Everybody's going to know, that's personalities, celebrities falling over dead on the field. Hopefully, at some point, that's going to resonate. And yet, they're still out here talking about boosters for, you know, 4-year-olds. It's absurd. I just don't understand how it is people aren't linking these things together. And at what point do they say no more?
Well, there are two perspectives on that very point, Todd, that I'd like to add to this discussion. Number one is the psychological phenomenon, which people have been hearing about, mass formation psychosis. But that is people, and then there's a normalization bias in psychology, where when something is so shocking to us,
absurd.
Shocking and absurd kind of implies humorous, odd, funny, strange. This is shocking in a different way. It shocks us to our core when we see people dying suddenly who were healthy prior to getting the shot. But the normalization bias in our thinking is that if we have already bought into the idea that the shot is safe and effective, then our brain can't comprehend that it could have caused death, sudden death. So normalization bias means that you then try to find another explanation. That's one point. But then we go to what the Old Testament in the Bible has told us. And throughout Daniel and Ezekiel and many of the Old Testament prophets, we read that when God allows his judgment to fall on a nation that has betrayed him, he allows people to be blinded. The Bible talks about scales over our eyes and people being deaf. And in Ezekiel, we're called to be a watchman on the wall. And scripture tells us not everyone will listen, but our job is to sound the alarm. So I think it's biblical. I think it's a manifestation of the spiritual battle between the forces of good and evil. And I think there's a whole psychological explanation for why people just refuse to see the obvious.
I think that's powerfully stated. I had a guest on who made the parallel that when we think about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we might want to consider Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca. Now, that might be a bridge too far for some people, but the fact of the matter is they are pushing these companies in the mainstream whore media and the government and the NIH and the CDC. They are pushing an experimental mRNA gene therapy masquerading as a vaccine on the global population. And evidently, the sports media thinks that's just fine and dandy. And people like Aaron Rodgers are an enemy of humanity for not taking one for the team. Literally their words. He should take one for the team. If he's a team player, he should put the health of his fellow football players first.
Which is total BS, because the vaccines don't prevent spread and they don't prevent people from getting infected. In fact, the vaccinated people are carrying more viral load in their nose and mouth, for example, than the unvaccinated people. But the
before you move on, you know, one of the things we had discovered in our analysis was that there are eight separate deadly vectors included in each and every one of these mRNA shots. They're chimeric pathogens. They included as our messenger RNA and DNA fragments on purpose.
Yes, and I think you and I talked about that. It appears to be one of the reasons that the people that those of us who are treating the COVID illnesses, the cluster of illnesses this year in 2021 and now 2022, the people are sicker. And the ones who are the sickest in my own practice are people who've been vaccinated, several reasons, we think. Number one, it decreases the normal immune response capability. So their immune response isn't as robust after the vaccine. But also these other elements that you're talking about that some of the analysis have shown are actually included in the technology and in the formation of these experimental shots. So that I'm seeing people with serious bacterial illnesses coexisting with the COVID viral illness, and we are needing different antibiotics in 2021 and 2022 than we used in 2020, which is why I think Sean's statement about the four horsemen of the apocalypse is actually a very good analogy, because these pharmaceutical companies, our whistleblowers, have provided us with data from the pharmaceutical research world that they've known about these toxic effects of nanoparticles and spike proteins going back 20 to 15 years earlier. They knew about this damage when they were working on these mRNA vaccines in 2002 with SARS-CoV-1. And they knew about some of this damage when they were working on trying to find an AIDS vaccine early in my career in the 80s. So this is not new information to the pharmaceutical companies, and yet they pushed forward on this technology and have unleashed it on the world. I think that's a good analogy.
Well, let's remember too what we're dealing with when it comes to these big pharma companies. What is the meaning of pharmakia? Magic, sorcery, witchcraft, enchantment, drugs, or medication? So they're literally playing God, and we know what their transhumanist dreams are. So the question is, how do we wake up our friends, neighbors, and colleagues to something that evidently has cast such a spell on them that they cannot see the truth, they will not hear the truth, they will not engage in these conversations, and they're willing to believe that anybody like us that has these conversations are tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists because that's what the mainstream media says. And doctor, I have to ask you, what are your colleagues saying, the ones that aren't awake? How can doctors possibly continue to go down this path when the head of One America Insurance Company in Indiana says, well, the death rates between people ages 18 and 64 have spiked 40%. A 10% spike would be a 1 in 100 year occurrence. Something is not right here. Now, I can draw the parallels that it's the quote unquote vaccine, but evidently a lot of doctors can't. How is that possible?
Well, I think it's twofold. I mean, I look at the examples among doctors I know here in Arizona that I've worked with, many of whom I respected until now. And several things are happening. Number one, they've been told by their administrators, who are not medical people, the administrators for the big practice groups and for the hospitals have said, you cannot prescribe hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin for COVID. You cannot treat COVID. If people get sick, send them to the emergency room. Of course, most of the big practices are owned by the hospitals anyway, so the hospital revenue bottom line is improved if they can keep people from being treated outpatient. So these doctors then are threatened by their administrators. You'll be fired if you violate our directive, which is getting into the corporate practice of medicine and illegal interference with the doctor-patient relationship that Todd can talk about. And then I think it's very similar to what we see when they put blinders on horses to pull a wagon. They don't want the horse going away from the road ahead, straight ahead. So I think the doctors put their blinders on. They focus on their protocol, their chart, their electronic medical record. They treat the patient for that appointment, for that reason, one reason per appointment, per 10 minutes, documented in the electronic record. Do my job, tick the box, end of day, 40 people seen, 40 people complied with on the electronic records, get the Medicare payments, go home, go to bed, and pretend nothing happened.
Yep, and collect your bonus.
It's easy to do that, doctor. There's a trifecta of impetus. So number one, they're immune, right? They don't have to worry about malpractice anymore. They're immune under the Care and Prep Act. Number two, they're getting paid, as you indicated, so they're not thinking as much about the care of the patient. And lastly, public health was merged with law enforcement, so there's no criminal culpability for them. So why would they care?
Because they took an oath to serve the patient first. And they are violating that oath, and God will hold them accountable at the end of their life if we don't find justice in this world.
That's exactly the point. I see it in our suit. I see it in our practice. There is a defining moment where people are either going to get their shot or not. The answer is if they have a relationship with God, if they believe in a higher power, they are hugely less likely to get the shot. They're not afraid to die. That's what it boils down to. And those that don't have a relationship with God will do anything to survive. And that's the hook.
And that's biblical.
You know, we've come to this conclusion so many times with so many guests in so many conversations. At the end of the day, this really is a spiritual war. And I think so many of the people that refuse to see, the doctors with blinders and so many others, I guess they don't recognize that it's a spiritual war, or they've chosen to be on the other team. They've chosen to be on the side of darkness. It's one or the other.
It's both, John, at least in what I see. I think it's a combination. And it's very clear. Just go back to the Bible. The Bible says we have free will. God gave us free will. We have to choose to do the right thing. We have to choose to act in faith. And faith without action is a dead faith. It's that simple. It really is. And it is a spiritual battle.
Hey, before I let both of you go, can I just bring up one more thing? I don't mean to get too political here for you, Dr. Vliet. I think I know what your political beliefs probably are here, but it's my belief that we have an imposter in chief in the White House. This man does not care about this country. He does not care about life and liberty. He does not care about property rights. He does not care about anything. And he wants to mandate a vaccine from East Coast to West Coast. He also will not shore up the southern border. Now, you're down in Arizona, and people evidently can just come right across the border unabated. Evidently, they don't have to get a mRNA shot. And I think what they're doing is they're showing up. They're trying to shore up their voter base for the next election because they know they can't win honestly. So your thoughts, either of you, about this illegal immigration and the fact that the imposter in chief refuses to protect the sovereignty of our nation and what that means for our future?
I don't think it's about voting anymore. Maybe if it is, it's this nearby election. These are replacement troops that are coming across the border. They are being flown straight into our military bases. Fort Bliss has got a whole city of them. So as you have your soldiers in particular falling out from sickness or from being forced out vis-a-vis not taking the shots, who's going to fill those jobs? We figure there's 400,000 of them in our class that will not be in the military because they won't take the shots. Who's going to replace them? And we now have immigrants, illegal immigrants, being flown directly onto our military bases and walking across the border. I think this is about a control paradigm. Command and control with the help and assistance of our leadership.
And I will comment about the imposter in chief. Clearly, anyone with any common sense, including medical training, those of us with medical training can look at Joe Biden's performance and understand that he is seriously cognitively impaired. So he's a puppet. He's the face of a lawless administration. And quite frankly, I've been disgusted with Joe Biden's sellout of America for all the years that he's been in office, that I've been an adult and could watch what was going on. I watched his sellout of America many years ago over his whole career. So he has been a bought politician for all the years that I've been watching him. But he's not really the one in charge. The shadow government is clearly in charge. And we have all seen the videos of Barack Obama with a smirk on his face being interviewed by, I think it was Chris Wallace, and where Chris says, well, would you be interested in a third term? And Obama says, well, I don't really have to be the face of it. I can simply be behind the scenes talking in someone's ear. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he's still behind the scenes in the shadows. Ezekiel Emanuel, who was the architect of Obamacare, is the one who is advising on COVID policy. And he's been writing about doing away with people over 50 having access to medical care since the 1990s. Again, if you know your history of these individuals, you know where their loyalties lie. And it's a Marxist idea that the collective is better than the individual and that individuals have no rights. That's what we're seeing.
I couldn't agree more. Ezekiel Emanuel, the brother of Rahm Emanuel, and Ari Emanuel, the high-powered Hollywood agent. It's a cabal of three brothers, all of whom have great power, none of whom seem to care very much about this country or life. Ezekiel has said that people have outlived their longevity and their usefulness at age 75. So no wonder we're seeing what's happening in these nursing homes. And it's no wonder that Governor Cuomo, when he was governor of New York, did what he did to the nursing homes and those folks, because he was playing ball. I think it was all part of a plan. Okay. I don't think it was ignorance. I think it was part of a eugenics plan. And I personally think that's what all of this is. This is a eugenics plan. And the mRNA, quote unquote, vaccine is a bioweapon that is harming, maiming, sterilizing, and in many cases, killing people. And that's what we're up against. So I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. I think there is a conspiracy in the wide open that we have all uncovered. And we need to point our fingers at the NIH, the CDC, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, fill in the blanks. Who else? Who am I missing, guys?
The WHO. The WHO is the one in charge of this entire response. It's a military response, and it's global, and no rights shall be asserted.
That's a good summary you made. Sean and Todd added the icing, the cherry on top, with the WHO in control. And that is what we're up against. That is going to take people resisting this control and doing so in civil disobedience and getting out and campaigning to expose the corruption and the evil agenda of control and destruction of our freedoms. And it's going to take people getting on your knees and praying to God to heal our land. And he does say that if we turn back to him, humble ourselves and pray and ask for his forgiveness and prayer and healing, he will heal our land. People need to do that. This nation has turned away from God in ways that are put Sodom and Gomorrah on steroids. And we need to turn back to God. We need to get back to our core values. And when you ask about politics, I've always been a constitutional Christian conservative. That is the founding principle of this country. It's in my DNA. My first ancestor came to Jamestown in 1608. And I'm here today because he survived the socialist experiment at Jamestown in 1609 during the starving times. So it is literally my DNA, and I'm not changing it with an experimental shot.
Amen. I love it. All right. I love to know that history too. Thank you so much. And Todd, we'll say our goodbyes to you first. Longtime friend, a great contributor to liberty on this planet. We really do appreciate you. And do you want to tell people how they can follow you or keep up with what you're up to?
Yeah, I will. And first and foremost, thanks to you, Sean. You know, you're a voice in the wilderness. People really need to hear you. Couple of things. First and foremost, the name of our law firm is Disabled Rights Advocates. I spend an inordinate amount of time with Dr. Vliet and our Truth for Health Foundation. And then, of course, we've got the website VaxChoice, VaxChoice.com, where people can get some self-help and information every day.
All right. And Dr. Vliet, very, very pleased to finally meet you. Thank you so much for coming on. The president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. What else can we tell people? How can they follow you?
Go to truthforhealth.org, and that's spelled out F-O-R, and follow us. Sign up for our email alerts. Listen to our press conferences. Donate to support our cause. We've just approved another legal defense grant for one of our deserving military service members. I just got the votes in today. And we are working hard to expose this. We encourage people to join our crusade of the voiceless. We are silent no more. And we have a Cloud Hub channel. We're going to be opening that to groups. We're going to be having COVID care chat groups led by medical professionals. We have our military advisory council group. We have a faith group, medicine and ministry. Lots of things going on, and we'd love to have everyone be a part of that. And Sean, thank you for being a voice of truth. Thank you for being a voice for the Voiceless and for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you. It's absolutely my honor. I'm grateful to God that I have a platform, especially after being booted off all of the mainstream platforms. Yes. So thank you very much, both of you. I appreciate you. God bless.
God bless. God bless.
And friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, that's truthforhealth.org. And for real news every single day, friends, you can join us for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
I saw a sign and it basically said, the billboard said, the French aristocracy didn't see it coming either. People think they can control chaos and they can't.